south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Brunswick at 91.3.
You know, you see a huge group of people and maybe they're in line to do something and they seem happy about it. You have to wonder, okay, what am I missing? What's going on here? What are these people excited about? Well, in this case, it's thousands of people and they're joining MediShare. Why? Well, MediShare is a much more affordable alternative to health insurance. It's reliable, too. It's a well-run community of Christians. They've been sharing each other's medical expenses for more than 30 years, so it's proven. And if you switch, you'll likely save hundreds of dollars a month. Most members wind up paying about half what they used to. And you know what? They find they like it better. MediShare's member satisfaction rate is 98%. That's way better than health insurance, as you might imagine. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. You get telehealth 24/7. Huge freedom in choosing your doctors. At least check into it. This may be one of those things where you're like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why not start saving now? Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Hi, my name's Steve Gregg. You have questions about your faith, about the Bible, about the objections to the Bible that your friends bring up, and you don't always know what to say. Well, that's what we're here for. On the Narrow Path radio broadcast each weekday, you can call in and ask those questions, and we'll do what we can to answer them for you. TheNarrowPath.com.
Tune in every weekday afternoon at 4, and then again at 10 in the evening to hear The Narrow Path right here on 91.3, 91.9, and 91.7, The Truth.
Jesus said that one of the signs of the climax of history would be the distress of nations with perplexity.
Wow, we see that every day, don't we? People and nations who are perplexed and distressed. So what's the answer? Billy Graham knew.
I'm convinced beyond doubt that the only hope for this world is the coming again of Jesus Christ. There is no other answer except the return of Jesus Christ.
So as followers of Jesus, what do we do until then?
Till that glorious moment, our job is to shine as lights. We are to be the salt of the earth, and we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
We can help you discover how to share your faith with others at goingfarther.net. Click where it says Basics of Christianity. That's goingfarther.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Let me remind you today, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We'll be talking about a local issue today. An issue that I believe that each and every citizen in Jacksonville needs to be aware of. We're talking about an issue that I believe we need to focus on and find an answer. we're talking about today, if you want to use a subject to the issue, we're talking about the mayor's monument mistake. Or should we say the mayor's monumental mistake? But we're talking about what has happened with our monuments in Jacksonville and with the Mayor Donna Deegan making the decision to unilaterally just have a monument removed. And now the questions from the city council and the general counsel's office as to what needs to be done. Can it be fixed? Can we repair what's been broken? Should the monument be replaced? Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall the words that some have used down through the years. Says, if we don't learn from history, we're sure to repeat it. And so that, I believe, includes some of the recent history in relationship to this monument. We'll be talking about that today. We'll introduce our special guest in just a moment. And we'll ask questions and ask you to ask your questions. And if you would, please, limit your questions and comments today as you call in to the focus of what we're talking about with the monument and the need to recognize what's needed with the monuments in our city and across our nation and what the legislators in Tallahassee are doing to prevent this from taking place again. And I believe that our city council is on the same track with doing something to make sure that we are protected. And that just, as used the term willy-nilly, you can't just go in and take monuments down. But let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's not a matter of philosophical rhetoric or political expediency. It's not a matter of denominational dogma, but it's based on the word of God. It is the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, the word of God makes a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. And as I've said many, many times, truth matters. Truth matters. The secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place in our society today. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35 year old age group, say this, and I quote, each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the problems that we find in society today. You can't bifurcate truth. You can't split truth and call it truth. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say it once again. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find the entirety of society today believing that somehow, some way, you can have a half-truth. There's no such thing as a half-truth. It's either truth or it's a lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. We need to learn the truth, listen to the truth. And as we talk about the issues today in relationship to the monuments in our city, the historical monuments, the legacy heritage monuments that's in our city, and what is the mindset of those that are wanting to remove them, why they should they be removed, should they not be removed, we need to seek the truth. And I believe that we have truth that is being veiled today and not being looked at in relationship to what we're doing with the monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time can, and their knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we examine American history, we discover, listen very carefully, this is the key to some of the things we'll talk about today. As we examine American history, we find the good, the bad, the indifferent. We look at the players that brought us to the point that we are today in history. We must not attempt in any fashion to alter, to change, or to modify our history by removing, dismantling, or covering the monuments, the legacy monuments about our history. Monuments that depict part of American legacy, all of it together. It's a mosaic across America with the different monuments. Now listen very carefully. Perhaps you've heard me say this before on different issues, but as I travel across the nation, I've seen monuments, statues that I disagree with vehemently. I've never felt it my responsibility to stop and say that monument offends me and it needs to be removed. I find it offensive for anybody to say that a monument, a heritage legacy monument, offends them or bothers them when it's part of history. It's a part of our history. Now listen, some of these monuments, some of these legacy monuments, some of these historical statues that have been going up in recent years, when I say recent years, I'm still less than 100 years old, so within the last 100 years, some of the monuments that have gone up, many of them in the recent 15 or 20 years that have gone up, they represent people that have a horrible, despicable historical background, and yet they have monuments in their honor and recognition. George Floyd, for example, across America, there are monuments of that man, and he had a police record as long as your arm. And yet, because he died in the process of resisting arrest, now listen, I'm not trying to make a judicial decision as who was right and who was wrong. But I don't think that we need to say that because something happened to him, that his monument should be revered and should be all across America. But that's the privilege of cities and counties and states that erect those monuments. I'm not going to jump into the fray and say that they ought not to do so, just as I believe there ought not to be that decision in our city as to what monuments can remain and what can't and when they can be taken down and how, and most especially, when a mayor makes the decision to do so unilaterally without the approval of city council, without any knowledge of the from the city council authorization, and to do so in the dark of night, the wee hours of the morning, that should tell you there's something wrong with that. America, across the land today, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 10,000 various historic monuments, each one depicting a unique part of American history. Does this mean that every monument, every hero of those monuments and statues had a pure, perfect life or legacy? No, not on your life. But ladies and gentlemen, we have schools that are being renamed today by those that are supposedly renowned in their background. But if you do a flashback of their life and their legacy and their history, you can't say that they lived a perfect, pure life. And therefore, the point that I make is, I find it despicable to try to determine and ascertain what monuments remain based on a person's record, what they did or did not do. The monument is there for a specific purpose of what they did that is part of American history. And I believe that we make a mistake trying to destroy history. In the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua, the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. God told Joshua to get 12 men to pick up 12 stones and place a monument there. And the purpose for placing the monument, according to the word of God, Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it's on the right page, the left column in my Bible. The purpose of putting the monument there is so with future generations, when children would say, Daddy, what's that monument for? they could give the history of what had taken place in crossing the Jordan River on dry ground and what God had done in doing so. Now, with that being said, I find it despicable, I find it wicked and evil to think that somehow, some way, a mayor in any city, we're talking about the city of Jacksonville, can unilaterally have a monument removed just because it's private money. And we're going to talk about that today. I think that it is wrong. I think that we are looking at a woke, progressive, cancel culture mindset. There are those who would like to erase our heritage by removing our historical landmarks and monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that is wrong. And personally, I'm against some of those that say that they had the authority and the right to do so. I believe that we need to recognize that there's no one that could pass the litmus test of having a perfect, pure background and make the decision that only those that have a perfect, pure background could have a monument in their honor. Ladies and gentlemen, as most of you are aware, just a few weeks ago, we had our mayor that removed a major Jacksonville historic monument. She removed it in the dark of the night, without city council knowledge, without the approval, without the proper permitting to do so. And yet she says now, I read an article this morning, ladies and gentlemen, where there's a question about it, something was being said, and she said, I promise I won't do it again. Can you count on that promise? I promise I won't do it again. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today special guest on Let's Face the Issues, City Council member of District 2, Councilman Mike Gay. Councilman Gay, thank you for being here. Looking forward to our discussion. And ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917. But Mike is with us today to talk about this issue. I'm thankful for his position on City Council. I'm thankful for his stand on ethical, moral decisions being made for our city. I'm thankful that we have, listen, I'm not saying this because Mike is here with me, but I'm thankful to have people like Mike Gay on our City Council. We need those who will be willing to take a stand, even when that stand may not be totally popular, but take a stand for that to be done, things to be done in a right, ethical fashion. Mike, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And as always, it's a privilege and honor to be on your show. And I don't take it lightly. And I'm glad to be here with you this morning.
Hey, man, looking forward to it. Well, I'll be honest with you, and I don't know if our listeners watched one of the subcommittee meetings that you were on where you were dealing with this issue. And I watched every moment of it. I was not just intrigued by it, I was thankful for it. You had the right questions presented in a casual and yet very, very direct fashion that I believe demands to have some of the answers that you were seeking and asking for then. Mike, first of all, tell our listeners, just give us an overview, broad brush, background of what has happened. When I say what has happened, as far as the monument is concerned, when did it happen? Why did it happen? And the big picture for our listeners. Some may not be aware of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First, I want to kind of put my position out there. I totally respect the mayor's office. I totally respect the authority that the position she's elected to. I respect every one of my colleagues' position and you know, I always make it a point to show each and every one of my colleagues and anybody in the administration, anybody in any position down there, total respect. We may not agree on social issues, but, you know, I'll work with them on everything I can on the core functions, but that, I just wanted to put that out there first and foremost that no way would I ever degrade anybody in a authoritative position, but uphold my core beliefs.
Well, it's kind of like I've said, if I could jump in, Mike, it's kind of like I've said for many years, I 100% disagree with the things that's taking place in the Oval Office in D.C., but I respect the office, and I'm thankful for those that will put themselves in that position. But there's a lot of time, a number of times that, as you know, we must disagree with what is taking place with the leadership roles in some of those offices.
Absolutely. And, you know, this situation took place during the council break. We break from Christmas to New Year's, and none of our staff was in the office. We were out of the office, and I was actually getting ready to head out of town to Vermont. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, I started getting emails and text messages on what in the world was going on down there. And so that's how I learned about it, as most of my colleagues learned about it. And there's the statements that this happened during the darkened night, and it's saying no, it happened in the morning. Okay, so it happened in the morning. I'll agree with that. But 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Normal construction hours are 7 o'clock in the morning. So mm-hmm. This was not normal. This was basically kind of set up to be a stealth operation.
Yes.
And so I made it clear when we had our special meet on this that my position on this is, I look at it as, if you're Confederate, non-Confederate, Union, whatever the Civil War issue is, I'm Native American.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cupahaw Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when I look at the statues of Custer and him being a Union general in the Union Army, and then going on into the cavalry and butchering and slaughtering the Native American women, children, and then when you see the statutes, I don't say take them down. I'm saying he got what he deserved,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's kind of my take on it. It's a reminder that what took place, and if his statue comes down, memorial, whatever you want to call it, then it'll be forgotten
mm-hmm.
what he done to.
Yeah.
You know, so
as we said a moment ago, that's the whole purpose of a legacy monument, is a benchmark of what happened in history, good,
yes,
bad, or indifferent.
Yes, sir.
What I see taking place today, there's an attempt to rewrite history, to whitewash history, to change history, and to somehow, some way, make history say that which was not real history. But go ahead with your overview of what happened.
And to add to that, you know, I've been to Cambodia,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen what Pol Pot come in and done, and, you know, with 10,000 young people after we pulled out of, when we left after Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
that he took over the city of Phnom Penh, over a million something people. So the minority can move in and conquer the majority if we let them.
That's right.
And they took, the whole thing was to take away everybody that had anything to do, that could read, write, in any kind of knowledge. They were butchered and tortured and put into killing fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we have to be so careful of.
Very careful.
That we never forget where we come through, what we've been through, and where we're going.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us, so that our listeners will understand too, what was the monument specifically? What was it called? What was it? What did it represent? And from the standpoint of when it was taken down and the approach that was taken, as I call it, the stealth approach, and you had already stated that city council was on break, but so our listeners will have a little better grip. What was the monument? What did it depict, and when was it erected originally?
I believe it was erected around 1915, and I could be wrong on the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony about it that nobody's even talked about, in 1912, a building permit was pulled to build that.
Mm-hmm.
That memorial.
That's good.
You know, and it's like we've done some fact finding, and I've got a list of unanswered questions that we're waiting to get responses back. And that was, you know, one of some of the topics that we had when we had the the general counsel come before us, and my questions was to him was, who owns this? Couldn't really get a straight answer. And, you know, there was so much that was said about the city council for all this time never done anything. And that is incorrect. Because if you go back and look at Florida Statutes 806 and 806.135, it is clear in there that nothing can be done to a memorial, monument, statue, whatever you want to call it, unless you got approval from the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Until the owner is defined, everybody's hands are tied that cannot touch that monument.
Monument. Mm-hmm. So that goes to a deeper question. Has there been anything that's ascertained whether the monument was donated, loaned, sold, given to the city?
Okay, that was one of my points that I had discussed with the council was this statue was donated to the city of Jacksonville, but was ownership conveyed?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, there's got to be clear. If you're going to take an action, you need to have all the boxes checked.
That's right.
And they were not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we're still waiting on these answers because you cannot go out here per the Florida statutes and do something without a clear approval of the owner. And so the statue being donated, there's an agreement. You know, if you want to sit here and say the entities that donated it, there's an agreement that we would be the city of Jacksonville would be the caretaker of this monument.
Mm-hmm. So if the city is acting as caretaker, the city does not own it. It's been donated, but the city becomes caretaker. Very much like the cemeteries. Do a corollary of the way that works.
We've got our city cemeteries with different statues from or memorials that's in there, and you know that's another concern that we got to get a handle on any future situations that may arise that we're definitive.
Mm-hmm.
And that somebody comes in and puts their memorial for their family member there, that who's got the right to go take that down? And moving beyond what the authority that we would have.
Another question comes up. I'll ask this question, then we'll take our caller. Let's just do, you said checking the boxes. Let's do some hypotheticals. Let's say that this box was checked, that box was checked, et cetera, et cetera. Wasn't a permit still required?
You know, that's a whole nother topic that of questions that I asked, and going and we'll build upon that is a permit to go into, and I know a lot of companies that do demolition.
Mm-hmm.
in Jacksonville. Well, to remove a structure, whatever you want to call this, it requires a demolition permit.
Right.
To remove it. To get that permit, you got to have, and especially an older facility structure, you got to have an environmental study done on it.
Mm-hmm.
To sit here and evaluate whether any asbestos was used, any kind of contaminants. And this is what I had told the general counsel was, we had all these citizens standing there by the fence, and we're moving a structure, or we're allowing a structure to be removed that we signed off on. We just opened ourselves up for any kind of airborne asbestos or anything that could have come off of that structure.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. That's not saying it is or it ain't. That just is saying it's unknown.
Right.
And you do not do anything in city business government without all the boxes being checked, and that you
part of those boxes is a permit,
and getting the permit, and it's clear in the Florida statutes that the local building official has the authority.